How you guys doing tonight? Y'all doing good?
Yes.
Let's just worship together. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Just sing that chorus with me. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, I worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a day dawning, it's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. And bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, I worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. And Lord, you're rich in love, and you're slow to anger. Your name is great, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on seeing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. And bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. And bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, I worship his holy name. And sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Oh, I worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time is come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years, then forevermore. And bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, forevermore. God, I'll worship your holy name, 'cause you're all I need and more. So I'll worship your holy name. The only thing I want, so I'll worship your holy name. And I just want you and nothing else. Nothing else, Jesus. Nothing else will do. I just want you and nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you and nothing else. Nothing else, Jesus. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I'm caught up in your presence. And I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never wanna leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessing. Jesus, you don't owe me anything, and more than anything that you can do, I just want you. Tell him that tonight, God, we just want you, and I just want you, nothing else. And nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you. And nothing else, and nothing else, Jesus. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. Here I to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. Altogether holy, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And here I am. Altogether worthy, altogether.
altogether wonderful to me.
Could we right now just go into prayer? Lois Kuhn called right before service, and her brother's in one hospital and her sister's in another. So we want to pray with them, over them tonight. And we're going to pray with Cynthia. She's praising the Lord. She's got gout that's come on her, and we're just saying no. She's got her healing. It's complete. We're going to believe for it. We're going to stand in agreement with her. We're going to thank the Lord tonight. Nelda Metter's been healed. She's going to get to be in service with us. We just thank the Lord. I just want us right now, let's just, for those who are going to ladies' retreat, we just want to cover you in prayer right now. For those whose hearts are longing for more of Jesus, I just want to water that seed tonight. Father, we just come into your presence tonight, and we thank you, God. Lord, I don't know that I can honestly say that all I want is you, because I can be so deceived and let things come between you and me. And tonight, God, I want you just to cleanse me, Lord, so that the word that comes forth is pure, God. We want you tonight. I don't need to manipulate. I don't need to figure it out. I don't need the plan. I need you. Lord, I need you tonight. Can you say that with me? Lord, I just need you tonight. God, this paperwork that needs to be cleared for people, we just speak life over it right now to begin to be moved on without trouble. Lord, for bodies that are weak and discouraged, we just speak the spirit of life over each one right now. We tell that thing to go. And Father, I just thank you that your life and your light is not only permeating the atmosphere, but it is physically permeating our bodies. And God, we call the lost home. We speak life, God, to those who have become complacent, and we say, wake up to the traps of the enemy. And let the Spirit of God arise. And we thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Amen. Ronnie, will you help me? You pass these out for me. And if there's any left over, if you'll leave them on the sound booth. And I'm so bad, I always forget about the offering. But there is an offering plate back there for those who'd like to give. It's back there at the end of service. I need to share a little family business with you. You know, our group is growing on Wednesday night and Sunday, our children's ministry, and we're really grateful for that. But we had one of our main workers step down today that worked every Wednesday night, and those who say, call me in a pinch, are being called too much. So here's what is going to happen. If we don't get workers, not a threat, just this is how it works. If we don't get the workers, then I'm going to go back and teach the 4 or 5 kindergartners, and Steve will just have to step in and speak on Wednesday night. So going to have some help back there, because I want to tell you, we're wise enough to pick up a Bible and read for ourselves. They're not. And now's the time for us to plant that word, because I can tell you right now, I was just thinking today about how grateful I am that I can think, oh, there's a scripture for that. And it's because I was raised in that and it was planted in me. So just separate little word there. Tonight we're going to talk about the benefit of salvation, the power of belief. And you've got your text there on your scripture, on your little notes. And I think it's interesting. It says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. And it's showing you that, we're going to get into this in a minute, but this is Jesus talking to Nicodemus, who is a very wise man, and he was educated. He was one of the Jewish leaders. And he knew the law, he knew ramifications, he knew all the traditions, and Jesus is coming in sort of rattled him. So he goes back to what happened with Moses in Numbers, I believe it's like chapter 20, and he recounts this story to him. So let me just ask you very quickly, for those of you on Wednesday night, what are things that we know about God's Word? It's final. It's complete. It lacks nothing. It's non-negotiable. It's legally binding, non-negotiable, and it's eternal. It's never going to run out. So that's the thing that we have to remember as believers. Last week we talked about shake it off when you're serving God. You know, when you're just doing something right for God, you're just going to stir it up and the enemy's just going to come out after you just because you're doing the right thing. And you just have to learn how to shake it off. You know, yeah, all of you went Taylor Swift on me again. I could see it. But I'm just saying, you have to shake that thing off and just keep going, okay? So how do we keep going? This is what we talked about last week, too, or the week before. You got to have confidence and you got to have what? Compassion. So when Paul had compassion on the his jailers, he had compassion on them and confidence in God. So he knew when the snake came, hey, no problem. We got this one covered. But here's the thing. What Jesus is talking about in this story, and I'm not going to read it to you, but if you go, it is in Numbers. It's actually Numbers 21. I was off by one. And that's in your pew Bible on page 111 if you want to take time to read that later, Numbers 21. But what happened was, and get this, man, isn't this just like us? They've just had a big victory, okay? So the Canaanite kings come out, and Israel has come in and made a vow to the Lord, if you'll deliver these people, we'll totally destroy, you know, we're going to take care of it. God gives them a marvelous victory, and what's the next thing that happens? They start griping. Well, we're tired of this and we're tired of that. Listen, I got nothing. I got no rocks to throw at them because I could put my name in there. Okay? Well, how come this? Well, why not? Well, a lot of it was they were griping against Moses, and we already studied about the rod that turned, you know, that budded, bloomed, and blossomed. You got your almond joy last week, right? Well, here's the thing. He comes in and God says, you know what? Okay, you're not happy with what you have. I'm going to give you a real trial. Yeah. So these little fiery snakes come out into the camp and they start biting them and the people are dying. And Moses feels bad for them. So he goes in and that's the picture. He says, I want you to put up a pole, which really is a staff. A staff always represents authority. So Moses had a staff, all the priests, they had the staff that they walked with. Jesus is the good shepherd, there's the staff, okay? It's a sign of authority. So he said, I want you to put a bronze snake on this pole, and if they'll just look at it, they'll be healed. Well, what does anybody remember we studied last week are two things that are going to keep your soul from getting what the Spirit says? One starts with an E and one starts with an I. Emotion and intellect. Human emotions and human intellect are going to separate you from what God is trying to say. And the reason that's true, guys, those are things that are in us as humans, but we're not going to need that in heaven. I don't need emotions in heaven. I'm not going to need my intellect in heaven because he says we're going to know. The things that we've been lacking, we're just going to know. That's going to be beautiful, isn't it? And we're going to have complete trust. We're not going to need faith in heaven. Oh, it's going to be marvelous. No sorrow, no sadness. But here we are at this story, and we recognize that it was the emotion and the intellect that kept a lot of them from looking at the pole. I don't need to look at a pole. Really? You know, where's my anti-snake venom? Really? Where's my, that doesn't make sense. That, why couldn't we have a dance around the fire and, right? We always come up with a better plan than God. And all he's doing is saying, look. All he was doing when he died was saying, look to me. And we still want to figure it out. And we still want to put him in a box. And we still want to tell him how to do it. So here's what happens. Out of nowhere come these snakes. But there was a man that Jesus recounted this story to, and this you can see from your verse on your paper. I'm going to read to you. We're going to look over this John, I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. I'm going to read John chapter 3 to you. Not all of it, but most of it from the Passion Translation. Because here's what happens. Here's this smart, educated man, and his brain has been tweaked because he's looked at Jesus, not even on the cross, but in his authority, the things that he's doing, and his brain is like blown, okay? Because according to the rules and the laws, you can't heal on the Sabbath. You can't, but yet Jesus is doing this out of what? Compassion and confidence in the Father. Because tonight, it's important that you remember Jesus was human. He felt what we felt. He was tempted. The Bible says in all ways, he was tempted to be discouraged. And we even know from the scripture that there were times where he got frustrated. Really, guys, you're not going to believe. You've seen all this, but you can't believe this farther. So it wasn't like those things are wrong. It's what are you going to do with it? And you know what Jesus did? He always got alone and went and prayed. Can I just tell you, we could stop right there and examine our lives and go, well, hello, click. Am I getting alone and praying? Or am I saying, instead of the poll, how about I just go to a movie? Well, instead of looking at Jesus, yeah, I'm meddling. Instead of looking at Jesus, why don't we just take a trip this weekend? We deserve to. If we just get away, things are going to get better. Yeah, you know what's really going to help? I think two glasses of wine would really, yeah, that's what I need tonight. And the reason I'm saying those things to you is because all those things can look really good and appeal to your intellect, and people in the world are going to tell you, you just need to do this. Your work, you don't need to do all that religious stuff. But I want to tell you something. What they're calling the religious stuff is relationship. And anybody that tells you that you don't need to put your spouse first, or anybody that tells you that you don't need to put God first before your family, anybody that tells you, oh, you need to do this, is no, no, no. Those are things that are separating you from victory. So let's just read this tonight. John chapter 3, again out of the Passion Translation. Now there was a prominent religious leader among the Jews named Nicodemus, who was part of the sect called the Pharisees and a member of the Jewish ruling council. Now, the other version is going to say that he was gray-haired. One of them will, which shows you, you know, wisdom comes with gray hair. And they all said, okay. So verse 2 says, one night he discreetly came to Jesus. I want to tell you something. You can go discreetly to Jesus and nobody else ever has to know about it. And he's okay with that. You need to go to him when you need him and how you need him. Because calling out to him doesn't have to be pretty, it doesn't have to be perfect, and it doesn't have to be in anybody else's plan. Read books, I'm grateful. But you cry out to him. And Nicodemus sought him at night. Why? Because he didn't want anybody else to know. Because he was hungry for the truth. See, I don't care. Just take this with however you want to take it. I don't care what people think about you. I don't care what you did before you got here. I don't care how you've been living. I'm asking you tonight to discreetly go and find him when nobody else is around and seek him because he wants you. So he comes in and he says, Master, you know, he recognizes Jesus. He got the power, okay? Master, we know that you're a teacher from God, for no one performs the miraculous signs that you do unless God's power is with him. See, the miraculous signs, the miracles, overrode his intellect, and it overrode his emotions of what are they going to think about me? Just let me seek him. Are you that hungry tonight? I know you are because you're here. And Jesus answered, Nicodemus, listen to this eternal truth. Before a person can perceive or understand God's kingdom realm, they must first experience a rebirth. Now, of course, this word can have different meanings, okay? It could mean born at one time. It could mean born like Adam, okay? That there was no woman involved, okay? But what he's talking about, of course, is a rebirth, not from the natural, but in the supernatural. So Nicodemus isn't getting this. Jesus is so cute here. And Jesus answered, Nicodemus, listen to the eternal truth. Before a person can perceive God's kingdom realm, they must experience a rebirth. And Nicodemus says, rebirth? How can a gray-headed man be reborn? It's impossible for man to go back into the womb a second time and be reborn. And Jesus answered, I speak the eternal truth. So what he's telling him is, dude, you're trying to think with man intellect. I've got something that's going to tweak you, but it's going to set you free. So he comes in and he says, unless you're born of water. Now again, you know, for those of you who have natural childbirth, you understand that there's that being birthed in the water. That can happen. But he's talking about your references, if you want to look them up later, is Ephesians 5, 25 through 26, being born of the water. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. It's James 1, 18. And it's 1 Peter 1, 23. Okay? And just very quickly, the reason we baptize is because it is an outward symbol to the world of what's going on inward. If you want to be baptized, you just need to call the church office and it's going to happen. Okay? But what it symbolizes is the water is where you're going under with Jesus, like the grave, and you're being resurrected new. No longer, I'm washing away. The old man's dead. It's an outward sign of it. And even Jesus was baptized, so there you go. And he says, you shouldn't be amazed by my statement, you must be born from above, for the Spirit, wind blows as it chooses, and you can hear its sound, but you don't know where it came from or where it's going. So it is within the hearts of those who are Spirit-born. See, he's telling him, you think you're so smart? Then tell me how the wind. Can you predict when the wind's coming? Can you predict even what direction tomorrow the wind's going to blow? The weather people can't even do it, right? With all the machines and technology. And he's saying, so here's the deal. You can't even figure out the natural workings of my works, of the Father's work from heaven. How in the world do you think you're going to get this? What's he saying to him? Put aside your natural intellect and let me just speak to your heart. Let me ask you tonight, you ever been really troubled or hurting or not have an answer and somebody just touched you or prayed over you and you don't even, Ronnie, you didn't even get the answer you wanted. Your intellect wasn't satisfied, but something changed where your spirit overrode your emotions and your intellect and peace just washed over you. Anybody in here experience that, right? Did you do something for that to happen to you? Did you like come in and give $100 because you knew you hadn't been tithing? Did you come in and go down and lay at the altar and bawl and wail to get it? Did you say, okay, well, when I get 6 stars for attending church 6 weeks in a row? No, your desperation led you to Jesus, and this man's brain was tweaked, and he's like, you're doing things we can't do, and we have the intellect. But Jesus knew he had to challenge his intellect for something he couldn't answer. Now, let me just say this to you right here, because it's a good time to say it. How many in this room are being challenged, their intellects being challenged? You know that you're coming up against something that's bigger than you, that you can't figure it out. Because I want to tell you who's here tonight. The one with the answer. And he's still got the answer for us. And he's going to see us through. I just found another good use for scarves. Okay. So he comes in and he says that. Then Nicodemus replied, but I don't understand. What do you mean? How does this happen? Now Jesus didn't go, you're an idiot. Get out of my sight. That's what the devil has told many of you that's going to happen when you go to him humbly and just say, God, I'm not getting this. I just don't understand. Thank you, love. For those of you who are listening to this, Miss Linda just handed me a Kleenex, but I could have been saying it to the Lord. And he says, Jesus answered, Nicodemus, aren't you the respected teacher in Israel, and yet you don't understand this revelation? I speak eternal truths about things I know, things I've seen and experienced. See, you forget he already went to heaven. He was already up there. He didn't have to come. But he said he loved his Father and he did what his Father said and he came to this earth. But listen, this is beautiful. I don't think he knew the things that the human felt until he had that burden on him. But his father recognized the humanness and said, son, you're going to have to experience it so that they know that somebody who hurt like they did can do it. Son, you're going to have to do what the snake that brought sin to Eve, you're going to have to be the snake on the cross to show sin is now on me, not on you. There should have been some setting free right then, but I'm just going to keep moving. So he says it to him, and still you don't accept what I reveal? If you're unable to understand and believe what I've told you about the natural realm, what will you do when I begin to unveil the heavenly realm? No one has risen into the heavenly realm except the Son of Man, who also exists in heaven. From the beginning, he was with the Father. Okay? I've told you this over and over, and you're seeing it tonight. The Old Testament is filled with a story, a foreshadowing, an illustration of Jesus. And all through the Old Testament, when he says, and the Lord said, that's Jesus. He was already there with the Father. But listen, not only did he leave heaven and come here as a man, but he died as a man and rose as a Savior, going back, not just to hell. He went through hell first and said, you will have no power over my children. And so now he's like, he's seeing where he's headed. And he's like, dude, the things I'm seeing, I got to trust the Father. So then he talks about God's love for everyone. And you know, this is a scripture most of you can quote. We're about to get to it. But this is the context of how that is shared. And just as Moses in the desert lifted up the brass replica of a snake, talking about the cross, on a pole for all people to see and be healed. And do you know, have you ever seen those medic alert bracelets or lots of doctor signs? What's a sign? Snake on a pole. Because it has to do with healing and authority. A doctor has been given the authority to help heal. Well, just praise God that, you know, that the people that hate Jesus hadn't caught on to that, or all those signs will be coming down. But that's exactly where it came from. And so the Son of Man is ready to be lifted up. Now Jesus is talking about himself. And he's never lifted himself up. He's always saying, don't tell what I did. Go, don't, you know, and going away from the crowd when he sees them trying to lift him up. But he says so that those who truly believe in him will not perish, but be given eternal life. He repeats this again. Anybody who repeats something, do you think it's because they just like the way it sounded? What does it mean? Means I want you to pay attention. If you didn't get it the first time, I'm going to tell you again. When I dealt with my kids, I say, I want you to go in and clean that room up. If that room doesn't get cleaned, don't come up in here and ask me for $5 to do anything else. I'm not paying you to clean your room. That's a part of what you do as a member of this family. But I just want you to understand, if the room doesn't get cleaned, nothing else is going to happen. Now, what did I just say? Because I wanted them to repeat it. Yeah, so did I say wait 3 days, or did I say get in there and clean that room? Right? So you want them to hear it. You want them to understand it. So that's what he says. He says, so that those who believe in him will not perish, but be given eternal life. And your King James is going to say, so that, you know, they will not perish, okay, but have eternal life. Then he comes back in with verse 16. For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique Son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. He's repeating what he just said. I don't want you to perish. If there's a rebirth, it's not into the world, it's into heavenly realms. And the things that matter to you and me right now are not going to matter in heaven. So Nicodemus is saying, well, you know, you're telling me all I have to do is look back? You're just telling me all I have to do is look and believe? Well, that just sounds too simple. Because he's got knowledge. He's got intellect. He's got emotion. He's got a name. He's got a position. And those are all the things that you and I strive most of our life to get. And most of the time, when we're striving to get it, you got to strive to keep it. And if we will let God place us where he wants us, you will prosper. You will have trouble. You will have tribulation. But when you go through it, looking at the cross for your healing, looking at the cross for your emotional support, looking at the cross for what you need, there will be a testimony to somebody else behind you for what you stood through, because God will get the glory because you don't need it. I'm really crying a lot. And I don't mean to embarrass you, Jason, but I'm so glad you're here tonight, Jason. I just love you. I love you. You have so much value. I'm going to have to get a price tag and put on you so you'll believe me, but you really do. So God did not send his son into the world to judge the world. See, don't just do, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him should live and not perish. What does verse 17 say about him? Because here's the lie from the world. Let's just expose it. God did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its savior and rescue it. So now there's no longer any condemnation to those who believe in him, but the unbeliever already lives under condemnation because they do not believe in the name of God's beloved son. The only hope you've got is a God who died for your sin. The only hope we've got. And yet, what does the enemy get us to do? Don't go to him and don't tell him. Duh. Like he doesn't know. Get honest with God. He's not ashamed of you. I say it to you all the time. He is not looking for the reason to reject you. He is looking for the reason to embrace you. But if you're afraid, if he embraces you, you'll have to give up your pleasures. You'll have to give up your control. Hello, yes, you will, but you'll be giving up disappointment and depression. He says to the believer, to the believer, to the believer. Man, so here's the thing. There's a progression of wandering or wondering. And here's the progression. Number one, there's going to be attack of the enemy. Number two, there's going to be an application of healing. And number three, these are already on your notes. You're way ahead. There's the announcement of God's provision. Faith is not an emotion, it's a decision to stand on God's word, and that decision is eternal. That decision is always going to come back. Your name, when you made that decision, when you said, I believe in you, Jesus, your name was recorded in a book. And Hebrews tells us that not was it just put in the book one time, but he says, I've got a book of remembrance, and I write down the times when it was hard for you, but you kept believing. Your name's there. And the devil tells you that when you get to heaven, you're going to be judged with a video screen that shows every nasty thing you did. That is not the God you serve. He's a liar. The video screen's going to come down, and I believe an angel's going to stand up and read from the book and say, Micah, when it was hard for you, when it was hard for you, when everybody else said that they would hate you for this, when you were alone and rejected, I saw you cry out to me, good job. And that's what's going to show on the screen. And all of us are just going to start rejoicing and shouting. And whatever crowns he's given you for what you did that was right, we're just going to be so happy to be there. We're just going to throw that back at his feet and say, only you are worthy to wear this. And earth tells you to wear the crown now because you a big deal. Hey, here's a side note. Don't listen to the gripers. because they're like demonic vipers. They're going to show you. They're going to shoot you down. Whatever good thing God's done, they've got a target on you to shoot down and to get you to get in agreement with your fear and your doubt and your condemnation and any other thing that they can do. He's going to target that like a sniper, like a fine-tuned sniper. Well, Gay, that just seems really mean. Here's the thing. They target your emotion and they target your intellect because the enemy knows that's what's going to get you to disagree with God. But the truth is, when you love somebody, you want them to have the truth. You know? And I don't want to give you the truth like you're just a bunch of terrible people. But there's the truth. And the truth's going to set me free. So here I am. I'm telling you this tonight because I'm living this. I say it all the time. If I got to serve it, I got to eat it first. I hope you enjoy leftovers. Here's the thing. There's an application here. There's something that we need to get active. There's a mind game stopper because I'm either going to, in my application, I'm going to be active, I'm going to be reactive, or I'm going to be proactive. Whatever I'm proactive on is what I've already placed in me and have my intellect and emotion believing this is the best thing. So when I'm active, here's the thing that's going to stop the mind games. It's Isaiah 26:3. You, O God, will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Just look to him and you'll be healed. That sounds too simple. Then why aren't you taking the deal? Reactive. I'm going to get even. That's what the world says. You know, you need to get them. You deserve better. That shouldn't have happened to you. Well, now that that happened, you just come on, let's do it this way. Let's shortcut. You know what you're saying? God, you don't know what you're doing. God, you don't have the right plan. And God, I can't trust you. And the worst thing you're saying is, God, you're a liar. Proverbs 20:22 says, do not say, I'll pay you back for this wrong. Wait for the Lord and he will avenge you. Now, I'm not saying waiting is easy because I'm waiting, all right? But what do we always say? Don't freak out, seek out, because you're going to do one or the two. And proactive, you've got to have the word that's alive. He says in John that the word is alive and active and it's powerful and it's Jesus. And he's up there with the Father knowing what we feel. And he's speaking on behalf of us. And he's speaking from personal experience as a human. And God is listening to his son more than he would you or me, right? And he's the witness that breaks the lie off of us because God says this will be possible because of him. The snake bit that brought the sin is now on him. You're going to be just fine. Here's your healing. Here's your redemption. Here's your salvation. Quit believing that you're worthless. Quit thinking that you can't do it. It's never been what I could do. It's what he can do. So the best benefit as a believer is just to what? Believe. That's why you call a believer. If you're from Texas, you're a Texan. If you're a believer, you're a believer. That's a benefit to us. So Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, don't be foolish in needing to explain or understand by a logical process. Just look, I'm right here in front of you, and he's telling you something that's going to happen. How many times has God been right in front of us telling us something that's going to happen, and we just don't want to hear it? Jesus is right here tonight in front of you, and he's reaffirming to you his love for you. He's reaffirming to you that you can lay down this burden of figuring it out. How many times have I seen somebody who thought they couldn't get a job go in? We've got so many examples of this right here at Christian Center. Well, you know, I have a past. Listen, people want to know that you've learned from your past because you're going to be more loyal than the person who thinks you can't live without them. Okay, announcement. Here's the spin. I'm using Psalms 13 for this. And I'm going to read this again out of the Passion Translation. Now, here's how prayer turns depression into delight. Delight. Come on. He is delight. Never mind. I just thought it was funny. Sorry. So, for the pure and shining one, this is King David. And at this point, really, David's only been king for about a year, okay? So he's new to it. Man's been giving him all authority. Ooh, you the king. But he knows who he's in submission to. And it says, I'm hurting, Lord. Will you forget me forever? How much longer, Lord? If this is at the beginning of David's reign, did God kick him off the throne? No, God is not going to reject you for your questioning. God is not going to reject you when you pour out your heart. He already knows how you feel. Do you know that when you're in a relationship with someone and you share your hurts and your aches and your pains, doesn't it draw you closer? Because you know now you're safe and you're loved. And he says, how much longer, Lord, will you look the other way when I'm in need? How much longer must I cling to this constant grief? I've endured this shaking of my soul. Remember, Paul. So how much longer will my enemy have the upper hand? It's been long enough. Now take a good look at me, God, and answer me. See, here we are asking God to take a look at us. And what do we need to be doing? Taking a look at him. Breathe your life into my spirit. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus? Can't be by the flesh. It's got to be by the spirit. Breathe your life into my spirit. Bring light to my eyes in this pitch black darkness, or I'm going to sleep the sleep of death. I think he was suicidal. Don't let my enemy proclaim I prevailed over him. For all my adversaries will celebrate when I fall. Lord, I've always trusted in your kindness, so answer me. I will yet celebrate with passion and joy when your salvation lifts me up. I will sing my joy song to you, the Most High. For in all of this, you have strengthened my soul. My enemies say that I have no Savior, but I know that I have one in you. See, here's what happened. When he quit, when he brought himself to Jesus and said, look at me. Have you missed me? He's not going to reject you. But here's what happens. He's the same. You're changing and realizing now you're looking to him, whether you realize it or not, because you're crying out. And so it changes. The depression goes. And all of a sudden you realize, this isn't my burden to bear. It's yours. You know, this week, I really, probably after last Wednesday night and my victory, you know, you have trials. You have things that hit you. Man, Sunday afternoon, you could just blow me over with whatever, right? After your victory, what comes? Yeah, the test. We're going to get to that in a minute. But here's what happened. So I go in and I'm telling the Lord how unworthy I am. And I'm like, God, why can't I get this? Why can I not just consistently trust, consistently believe? Why can't I have places where I don't go in darkness and fear? I hope the bubble is burst if you had me any different. And here it is. I want to be this girl for you. And I can't do it. And I'm trying because I want to please you. I love you. You've been faithful. What is wrong with me? I just feel like somebody's coming right over my shoulder. And you know, when you feel like that, you want to hide because you don't think you want anybody to see you like that. Get a clue. He lives in your heart. He's fully aware of what you're thinking. He wants you to cry out and invite him in on the scene because he is not a rapist. He's not going to come in and get intimate with you. He's going to wait for the invitation to know that it is something you want, that you desire to be one with him. So, man, he comes in there, and I just felt it. And I said, God, I'm sorry. why can't I do this? And I just heard him say, because you're human. And I just felt this weight go off of me. Like, guys, I know that. You know, I'm just getting over a broke wrist. I know I'm human. But here's the thing. We forget it, that he knows that we have a weakness that has been provided for because he's come and borne it and gone back to heaven. There's a provision for me. There's a provision for you. And that's what I don't want you to forget tonight. Just look to him. He knows you're human. And I felt in him saying that to me, really what he was saying is, it's okay. I just want you to see that I know that you're having trouble. Can you trust me? Can you believe? And then you're like feeling guilty. Well, I can believe, but, you know, I feel really bad about it. And then I have the word to be proactive in my life to fight that. And I go back to Mark 9, 23 and 24, where he says, all things are possible if you believe. And the guy who wasn't even a believer just wanted a miracle. Hello, who's in this room that's the same way? Just wanting a miracle comes in and says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And Jesus didn't say, well, I saw that unbelief, disqualified, and the buttons hit and he falls through to hell. What happened was he went in and healed his child before the guy even got there because he was honest and he said, what faith I've seen in you. See, God rewards honesty, and the devil doesn't want you to get honest because he knows that's where your freedom is. So come along with me on this little trip now. Because here's what I want you to see. Ooh, there's that spin, there's that depression, it's turning. So the question is tonight, what do you believe has more power? What do you believe? Money? I did. Still do. Probably tomorrow I'm going to be back over there praying over those books. Just saying. What do you think has more power? See, because that's where the enemy lies. It's not what. It's who has the most power. Who? Why do you think the devil targets you? Because you got the power to believe or not. And that's the only difference in you seeing answers or not. Oh, but you know, it seems like we should have already had this answer. How many times are we going to have to go around this? Gee, I don't know. Maybe till everybody gets it and we can build up the kingdom instead of our own little works. Listen, I'm not going to carry this on much, but I want you to hear this from me. The what is really who? Is it me? Is it all they? Well, they said, well, they won't. Or is it he? He has said, I can have life and life abundant. And guys, I don't think that means just wait until you get to heaven. Yeah, I heard you amening back there, Brown Sugar. That's my friend who Jesus healed sovereignly on a walker waiting outside to somebody to pick her up to church and she drove herself tonight. That's what I'm talking about. And here we are. Jesus got frustrated in his humanness. But here's the thing. Over 100 times in John's gospel is the word believe. Do you think he's trying to tell us something? And do you know why? In my human limited thinking, it's because he watched the other 11 say there were believers, and one by one they rejected him. But he watched them all but one come back and pick up their cross and follow him. I'm asking you tonight to look to the cross, to look to his authority and not yours, and set yourself free from a lot of pain and a lot of worry, because that's what he wants to do in this room tonight. He wants to set us free, and he wants us to settle it. Angela, can I just tell you something tonight? Nobody can keep you from being happy. Nobody. Oh, I shouldn't have. I did. They did. He. Nobody can keep you from being happy. Because happiness is not dependent on any person. Happiness is dependent on what you and I believe about who Jesus said about us. That's a word for all of you in this room tonight. I'd like for you to stand with me. Every time we talk about the blood of Jesus, there's going to be a victory. This past week, we were sharing something in with individual staff. We were having that this week with all the staff members. So I want to just quickly go over these because I didn't say them out loud. I want you to be thinking with your spirit now, okay? But here's what makes us vulnerable to attack. It's our view. My eyes are not on Jesus. They're on something else. The view is human. If I have a human view and I get in agreement with what I say, I'm going to be cursed. If I get in agreement with what God says, I'm going to be blessed. And let me just tell you, the enemy will let you look like it's a blessing. But how many in this room know what it's like to have money and have it taken in one felt swoop and there was nothing you could do about it? The view is that this is the view I want you to hear tonight as we go to prayer that was shared to us and that Steve shared to someone else this week. The only reason the enemy comes at you is because you're getting stronger. He ain't gonna mess with you if you weak. But the minute I've heard, how many times have I heard and you heard people say, I was okay till I decided I was going to follow Jesus. Are you even getting what you're saying? But instead of realizing it's because you're growing and you're getting healed and you're getting stronger, you get mad at God. If you love me, you wouldn't let me go through this. I loved every one of my kids. I loved them. And I spanked them when they did something wrong. I didn't beat them. I corrected them. And I reinforced it with love. But I want to tell you what. I'm not ashamed of any one of my kids today. Not because they make all the right choices. But because I know that they have a love instilled in them. And it was harder for me to do it than not do it. And I could have said, I want you to be my friend. Don't be mad at me, honey. You can go ahead and wear that. Don't be mad at me. You can do it. God's not that God. He's not that father. He's the good father. He's the one who says no to you because you don't even know what you want. Can you just be honest? I don't even know what I want, Pat. I don't even know what I need. I think I need to buy a lottery ticket when. Maybe he needs somebody to come to Jesus. Maybe he needs to bless everybody in this room so financially abundant that it's above what a lottery ticket could do to the glory of the kingdom of God. He's coming after you. Have this view, not because you're bad, not because you did something wrong. He's coming to you because you're getting strong. And don't give up. Don't give up. Grow up. Right? Tonight, Father, in this moment, we just speak life. God, I'm asking right now for those that the enemy is so condemned that they've painted themselves in a corner of believing what he says more than you do. I replant the word that you did not come into the world to condemn the world, but the world through you might be saved. God, I tell you, I need saving tonight. Whew. God, I'm praying tonight, Lord, that you will raise up, God, the healed of the Lord. Lord, that before June even goes in to have her knee surgery, that you will heal June. I know you can. God, before Kay Raff goes in, Lord, over her back, I know you can heal her, God, and save her from a hip transplant, God. I know you can do that. I know you can heal Vicky, God, before the liver comes. You can deliver her. And Lord, I know in this room tonight, you've got teachers, God, who won't grow weary from doing your work, but will be fulfilled for doing your work. Raise up the teachers, God. Raise up, God. Raise us up to recognize whatever we do for you. When I take care of your business, God, you will take care of mine. Release me from trying to take care of my business. I want you to be my business manager. I want you to be my director. I want you to be my husband. I want you to be my father. I want you to be my savior. And I recognize you as my king. You're everything I need, all in one. God, forgive me for looking at things that are eternal as though I need them here and wanting you to do things that are not eternal for me. Help me not to get it backwards anymore, God. I want to trust you, God, but help my unbelief. And God, help Christian Center. God, we believe that we're doing your work. I'm asking you to raise up, God, those for the harvest. You said don't pray for the harvest, but pray for the workers. God, I know the harvest field is out there, but God, I'm asking you to show us what you want from us. Lord, I'm asking you tonight to bless everybody in this room with such a sweet peace, such an understanding, such a removal of the burden off of their shoulders. Because tonight, Lord, we boldly confess to you, we believe. We access that benefit of our salvation, and we believe, and we look to you, Jesus. We look to you. In Jesus' name, I'm asking you to be set free tonight. Be set free and don't pick that up again. But if the enemy comes in, I want you to be strong enough to say, I must be growing. I must be growing. And trust the one who doesn't just take care of the seed, but he brings the crop. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you. And God bless Christian Center of Fort Worth. Woo! Lots of good things happening. We're getting ready for Harvest Fest.